The Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're exploring, well, the hidden mechanics of success, really, and we're zeroing in on something that many, many high achievers say is the single biggest threat to their goals.
Right. It's not the competition. It's not, you know, bad luck necessarily.
It's the enemy within.
Exactly. We're diving into Ryan Holiday's really essential work, Ego is the Enemy. It's such a powerful look at that one internal obstacle stopping sustained achievement. Mm-hmm. And Holiday is very careful up front to define what he actually means by ego.
That's important, yeah.
It is. He's not talking about healthy confidence or, you know, good self-esteem. He calls it, and this is a quote, an unhealthy belief in our own importance and superiority.
Okay, so it's the hubris, the entitlement, that kind of toxic inner voice.
That's the one.
That distinction feels really key. Because we're not saying be timid or shy, right? It's about managing that inflated self-view that often comes with ambition.
Precisely.
So why does tackling this internal monster, why does it matter so much now?
Well, think about it. In a culture completely obsessed with visibility, personal branding,
yeah,
everything's online.
Yeah, projecting an image.
Right. So regulating your ego becomes maybe the only path to actually sustain success. And to continuous, honest learning.
And bouncing back when things go wrong.
Absolutely. The ability to constructively recover when you inevitably fall short sometimes. Ego gets in the way of all of that.
Okay, so before we unpack the book's blueprint, let's talk about the author a bit. Ryan Holiday, he's become this sort of modern philosopher figure, hasn't he? Especially for entrepreneurs, leaders.
He really has. Best-selling author, strategist, and his own path is definitely not typical.
Right. Didn't he drop out of college young?
Yeah, at 19. Dropped out to apprentice under Robert Greene.
Oh, the 48 Laws of Power author. Wow.
The very same. So that early start meant he saw firsthand, up close, the destructive side of ambition, media manipulation, the whole machine.
So his authority on ego, it comes from a mix.
A really unique blend, I'd say. On one side, he's steeped in classical philosophy. Stoicism, especially. You see Marcus Aurelius, Epictetus woven through his work.
Ancient wisdom.
But then, crucially, he applies that ancient wisdom directly to, well, today, to high-stakes modern environments. He was director of marketing for American Apparel, remember?
Right, and he wrote, "Trust me, I'm lying about media manipulation."
Exactly. So he's seen the engine room. He knows how ego plays out in practice, not just in theory.
That blend really makes his writing click, doesn't it? It's not just abstract ideas. He's taking, like, 2,000-year-old insights and showing you exactly how ego undermines success in Silicon Valley right now, or in your startup, or, you know, any creative field.
Yeah, he understands the internal cost of playing the modern game just for validation, for clicks, for fame.
Okay, so let's get to the core argument of ego is the enemy. What's the central idea?
At its heart, Holiday argues that ego corrupts your judgment. It fundamentally distorts reality. And because of that, it prevents the humility and the discipline you absolutely need for real excellence.
So it answers that question. Why do so many promising people, they have that initial burst of success and then they just flame out?
Exactly. His answer is basically, the ego, if you leave it unchecked, it will always, always sabotage the good work eventually.
And the structure of the book is quite clever, isn't it? It's not just random stories. It follows the journey of achievement.
That's right. It mirrors that journey, showing how ego is this constant adversary, but it attacks differently depending on where you are in your career or project.
Okay, so what are the stages?
He divides it into three main parts, tracing that life cycle of ambition. Part on is aspire. This is when you're starting out.
The beginning.
Right. And here, ego whispers things like, you're already talented enough, you don't need that much prep. It stops you from doing the real learning, the grunt work required to actually earn your place.
Okay, makes sense. Then what happens if you get past that?
Then you hit what Holiday suggests is maybe the most dangerous phase. Part two, success.
Oh, when things are going well.
Exactly. Achievement acts like fertilizer for the ego. It leads straight to overconfidence, maybe entitlement, paranoia even. That false belief that, okay, I've made it, I don't need advice anymore.
That sounds familiar. And the final part?
Part three, failure. Because setbacks will come, right? It's inevitable. And when they do, the ego stops you from recovering properly.
How so?
It encourages bitterness.
Yeah.
Self-pity. Blaming everyone else instead of looking inward and absorbing the often painful lessons that failure offers.
Okay, let's dig into those phases a bit more. starting with Aspire, that initial choice he presents, to be or to do.
Yeah, this is fundamental. Ego pushes us to be someone important. You know, get the fancy title, the recognition, the status symbols.
Right, look the part.
But purpose, Holiday argues, should drive us to do something meaningful, to focus on the contribution, the impact you're making, not just the appearance.
He uses an example, right? John Boyd.
Yes. The military strategist John Boyd.
Hmm.
A brilliant illustration. Boyd consistently chose influence and intellectual contribution over just climbing the ranks, getting the promotions.
So he cared more about the work itself than the visible rewards.
Exactly. He preferred to be effective, even if it meant others got the public glory. Impact over image.
But one way we sabotage that doing focus, according to Holiday, is by just talking too much. Talk.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
The ego loves premature satisfaction. Announcing your huge goals, your grand plans, maybe on social media, maybe just in meetings.
We've all seen that or done it.
Right. And what's really fascinating is the research suggesting this actually reduces your motivation to execute. Your brain gets a little dopamine hit just from talking about it.
So you feel like you've already achieved something just by announcing it.
Kinda, yeah. So the antidote, Holiday says it's basically silence and work. Just put your head down, build in private first.
That is so hard when you're ambitious, though. Which leads to another really counterintuitive idea for this Aspire phase, the canvas strategy.
Ah, yes, the canvas strategy. This one really makes you think. He suggests you should actively subordinate your ego, help your bosses, help your peers succeed. Basically, create canvases for others to paint on.
Okay, my ego immediately bristles at that, it sounds like. Being a doormat, letting people take advantage.
Doesn't it? The ego screams, hey, you're better than this grunt work. You deserve this spotlight.
Exactly. How can you trust that you'll eventually get recognized if you're deliberately stepping back?
Well, Holiday argues it's not about being passive. It's actually a strategic move. He uses George C. Marshall as an example.
Okay.
Marshall often worked diligently behind the scenes, making others look good, often sacrificing public credit for himself. But in doing that,
he learned, made connections.
Precisely. He gained indispensable experience, built incredibly powerful alliances, and quietly positioned himself for the massive roles he'd eventually take on. By prioritizing contribution over immediate credit, you become essential. You build the infrastructure. It's a long-term gain for a short-term surrender of ego.
That's a powerful reframe. Okay, so let's say that strategy works. You navigate the Aspire phase, and now you're here in the dangerous territory of success.
The treacherous peak.
Right. And once you've achieved something significant, the ego's next trick is to get you to don't tell yourself a story.
Hmm. Success is so tempting, isn't it? It lures you to creating these like personal mythologies. You start believing your achievements are solely down to your unique genius.
Forgetting the luck, the timing, the help you got along the way.
All of it. And these false stories, these myths, they make you incredibly fragile. The cautionary tale here is Howard Hughes.
Ah, the billionaire aviator.
Yeah. His early massive success fed an ego that convinced him he was the myth. He actually became a prisoner of his own success story.
And that led to?
It spiraled into intense paranoia, isolation, ultimately destroying much of his empire and himself. The moment you stop checking reality against your own inflated self-image, you're in real danger.
Wow. A prisoner of your own press, essentially. That's a stark warning about believing your own hype. And this vulnerability, this danger, is exactly why Holiday stresses you must always stay a student.
Yes, even more so after success. Initial success makes continuous learning absolutely vital, not less important. He brings up Genghis Khan.
Okay, how does he fit in?
Well, while Khan himself was apparently quite humble, focused on continuous conquest and learning, his success made his descendants arrogant, lazy.
They inherited the empire, but not the mindset.
Exactly. They felt entitled to victory without the constant effort, the learning, the adaptation. And that complacency led directly to the eventual collapse of that vast empire.
A chilling reminder that success isn't an endpoint. It's maybe just a starting point for complacency if you let the ego take over.
Which brings us neatly to part three, failure. Since success often contains the seeds of failure, as we just discussed, how do we handle the inevitable crash or setback?
This is where Holiday talks about a lifetime or dead time.
That's the choice. When difficulty hits, you can either use it for growth that's a lifetime, studying, reflecting, preparing for the next round, or you can choose dead time, passively waiting, blaming everyone else, stewing in bitterness and self-pity.
It sounds easy on paper. Choose a lifetime. But when you're actually facing a major setback, That ego kicks in hard, makes you feel like a victim.
Oh, absolutely. It takes tremendous mental discipline to shift from why me to, okay, what can I learn here?
Who is the example for this one?
The classic example is Malcolm X. He consciously transformed his time in prison into a lifetime. Intense self-education, reflection. He turned extreme confinement into a period of profound intellectual and personal growth.
Incredible discipline.
And that leads to the final core idea in the failure section. Understanding that the effort is enough.
What does that mean exactly? The effort is enough.
Well, the ego craves external results, right? It needs the win, the positive market reaction, the public validation.
It's a lot.
Yes. But wisdom, Holiday suggests, teaches you to focus solely on the quality of your internal effort, your integrity. Did you do your absolute best work with the right intentions?
And if you did,
then you build this internal satisfaction, this resilience. You become kind of immune to the market's ups and downs or the critic's praise or blame because your validation comes from within, from the process itself.
Okay, let's try and pull out some key themes that run across all three phases because these really connect the book to our daily lives, don't they?
Definitely. A huge one is process over results. This idea that sustainable success, the kind that lasts, it doesn't come from just chasing those big, flashy headline victories.
It's more about the day-to-day.
Exactly. Focusing on excellent daily practices. Mastering the fundamentals. You need to keep asking yourself, am I measuring my worth by the outcome, the external metrics, or by the consistent quality of my effort, my work?
And tied to that quality is humility as a prerequisite for learning. This feels critical.
Absolutely critical. Ego slams the door shut on learning. It makes you defensive the second you get feedback. You need that genuine student mentality, you know, the beginner's mind, to actually grow.
Because if you think you know it all,
you're already falling behind. You stop learning.
This helps cultivate what Holiday calls the inner scorecard versus outer scorecard.
Right. Wisdom means relying on your internal standards, yeah, your integrity, your effort, your personal growth, rather than constantly looking outside for validation.
Like praise, social status, what people think.
All that external stuff. Think about how much mental energy you might spend worrying about what others think versus focusing on what you know is genuinely right or the most effective path forward.
It's a lot, usually. And the final theme, the one we keep coming back to. Success is as dangerous as failure. Maybe even more so sometimes.
It really can be. Success often blinds you. It breeds complacency, entitlement, which means it requires just as much active management, just as much humility as dealing with a crisis does.
The book is also packed with really memorable, almost diagnostic quotes, isn't it? Little checks for your ego.
Yeah, they're great. Like little mental alarm bells.
What are some standouts, Will? Impressing people is utterly different from being truly impressive.
That cuts deep, doesn't it? It's saying, focus on building real competence, real substance, not just chasing the appearance, the titles, the swagger, substance over style.
Always. And here's a practical tool he offers. The question to ask when you feel pride, then, is this. What am I missing right now that a more humble person might see?
I love that one. It turns pride, that feeling of, I've got this, into an immediate trigger for self-correction. Pride signals you might have arrived. Humility forces you to look around for the blind spots you're inevitably missing.
It's like an instant humility reset. And challenging that ego-driven desire to skip the hard yards, he says, greatness comes from humble beginnings. It comes from grunt work.
Right. You just can't skip the foundations and expect the skyscraper to stay standing. The ego hates the grunt work, but it's essential.
Okay, so let's make this super practical. How can listeners apply these ideas, like, today or tomorrow?
All right. Say you're focused on professional development. In your next meeting, if someone challenges your idea, instead of immediately getting defensive,
which is the ego's first reaction.
Totally.
Yeah.
Instead, actively seek out more dissenting opinions. Try to genuinely treat all criticism, even if it feels harsh, as objective data for improvement, not as a personal attack.
That takes practice. What about for entrepreneurs or leaders?
The application there is maybe more systemic. Focus on building robust systems, structures that genuinely create value for customers rather than constantly chasing press coverage or trying to make yourself the indispensable hero at the center of everything.
Because the ego wants to be indispensable.
Exactly. But true effectiveness, lasting effectiveness, often requires building something that can thrive without you being the bottleneck.
Makes sense. And personally, in relationships, maybe.
Oh, this is a big one. In arguments or disagreements, consciously try to suppress that powerful urge to win, to get the last word in.
Oof. Hard, but important.
Very hard. but focus instead on genuine listening, on understanding the other perspective, on finding a resolution together. That small surrender of needing to be right pays off hugely in trust and connection.
Looking back at the whole book, all these ideas, what was the most surprising thing for you? Or the insight that really stuck?
For me, it was the sheer vulnerability that success creates. You sort of assume getting through adversity is the really hard part.
Right.
But seeing how figures like Howard Hughes or even Genghis Khan's successors, how victory itself became the moment of maximum ego exposure and danger, that was eye-opening.
Yeah.
It hammers home that managing ego isn't a one-time fix. It's a constant, continuous discipline.
Yeah, I agree with that. For me, the biggest takeaway, maybe, was realizing that humility isn't just some nice-to-have moral virtue. It's actually a strategic necessity.
A competitive advantage, almost.
Exactly. It's practical. It forces you to learn faster, adapt quicker, and ultimately probably last longer than people who are weighed down by their own sense of importance.
Well put.
So, as you, our listener, head into your next project, your next challenge, maybe your next success, we'll leave you with that provocative question Holiday poses. Is your ambition really driven by what you want to do? Or is it maybe more about who you want to be seen as?
Worth pondering that inner scorecard. We really hope this deep dive helps you keep your own ego exactly where it belongs, firmly in check.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acoptra Foundation.